Acts 20, verse 32. Again, it's Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Amen.
Church, say amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see those who are present with us this morning. We're thankful for all of you, and we're thankful for visitors. Maybe your first time visiting with us. We don't want it to be your last, and we're thankful for your presence. Here we go again. Here we go again. Another year. It's about to be gone forever, and another one appears. Another time for New Year's resolutions. Another opportunity to put your best foot forward. Another year to fulfill many promises that will be made. Another year to seize opportunities, to hope for better things and better results. Another time to look forward rather than backward. Another time, my friends, when we look at the dawning of a new year, another time filled with opportunities and filled with possibilities and optimism. But I have three things this morning that I believe everyone should want. They are spiritual things, and they are easily attainable. And so along with your desires and wishes that you maybe have for yourself this year, I want you to consider three of these. This year, we want to be stronger. That should be a desire. We should all want to be stronger, because we're ever trying to increase and trying to enlarge ourselves. We're trying to get better. We're trying to get stronger. We don't know what lies ahead, and so we're trying to make sure we're ready. And we also want to be stronger because God can use us, and we want him to use us in a special way. But we also want to be happier. Everybody wants to be happy. So we want to be happier this year. If you want to be happier this year, I believe that is a good desire for you, a good desire for me to be happier. But not only that, you ought to want to go through this year being approved by God. And the thing about these things that I'm talking about this morning is that every one of them actually are easily attainable. And they are easily attainable as you contemplate the word of God. Simply put, my friends, God has blessings wrapped up in his word. If you try to do this another way, my friends, you'll miss the blessings, because God has done some things in his word that if you go into his word seeking, you will derive the benefits contained therein. For instance, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of the marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that means that the word of God is living. It is active. It is adapted, my friends, to produce an effect. And so God can say that his word will never come back void. Why? Because it is adapted to produce an effect. Even when it comes to salvation, my friends, you can't get around salvation if you're going to avoid his word. If you want salvation, you're going to have to come to his word. His word will produce that effect. If you want peace, if you want serenity of mind, the word of God will produce that effect. If you want the grace of God, it is produced in the word of God. That's not to say that God has nothing to do with it and only his word does it. It is saying that God does it through his word. And so if an individual tries to avoid God's word altogether, then he will avoid many of the blessings that God has contained in his powerful word. It's active, it's alive, it's effectual. It will do some things. It will accomplish some things. And so this morning, as we talk about the word of God going forward this year, I want you to consider that the word of God will produce strength. It will give you strength. Look at what the proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 24. And we'll notice verse number 5.
A wise man is strong.
A wise man is strong.
Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength.
A man of knowledge, he says, increases strength. What you're going to find is that strength and the word of God kind of go hand in hand. If you increase the knowledge of God's word, you increase your knowledge of Christ. You increase your knowledge of God himself, his attributes, his ways, and his will. If you increase that, my friends, you will increase strength, which is why you need to be about the business of learning God's word this year. You need to increase your reading. You need to increase your meditation, your contemplation of the word of God, because that man of knowledge, my friends, will increase his strength.
We're talking about a spiritually wise man. We're talking about a man who is wise unto salvation. He is strong because he derives his strength from a different source. He does not rely on his own wisdom and knowledge, but he gains his wisdom and knowledge from another source. And as a result of that knowledge of that other source, he then derives his strength. It's why Paul could say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If you remove Christ from the equation, Paul cannot do the things that Paul was capable of doing. But Paul can suffer. He can suffer righteously. He can abound even when he was in different circumstances and situations that was not favorable for him. And he can persevere through every one of those circumstances because of who he knew. He knew Christ. He knew Christ's character. He knew Christ's will. He knew Christ's strength, and therefore did not come to rely on his own, but relied on someone else's. As a result of that, Paul with confidence can say, not in himself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My friends, this year, we will not be taking up arms and fighting physical battles. However, spiritual forces and wickedness in high places will be at work. And you will need strength this year. You'll need strength to overcome sorrow. Look with me, if you will, to the psalmist in Psalm 119 and the verses number 128. We'll stay in Psalm 119. We'll be there for a little bit. So look at Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 128. Strength to overcome sorrow this year.
Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things.
Wait a minute, Brother Craig. The reason we're talking about this, you say, well, Brother Disby, we're talking about the new year. Shouldn't we be looking forward to the new year with favorable circumstances? And shouldn't we look to it with optimism? I am. And I'm also looking to it with reality. In other words, my friends, every year you got to deal with some challenges. And every year there are going to be some things that you're going to have to face and you're going to have to deal with, and you're going to need strength. It would be sad for us to not consider that we're going to face challenges in 2018 when it seems and appears to me we faced them in 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Every year you got to deal with something. And so therefore, my friends, instead of pretending that these things are not going to happen, the best thing we can do is prepare to be strong in Christ, derive our strength from him so that we are prepared to deal with the sorrow that may face us in 2018. Notice what he says in Psalm 119 and verse number 128, if you will.
Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way.
Okay, that's 119, 128? Okay, so I think I gave you the wrong passage. But the one I'm looking for is, my soul melted for heaviness. He says, so that's 28. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Now, what the psalmist is describing is depression. The word melted means to drip, by implication to weep, a constant flow or dropping of tears. And why? Because of heaviness, a depression of spirits, grief or sorrow. This is potentially a silent grief, a hidden sorrow, the kind that so often people are dealing with in private. How many people are pining away in secret until they wear away? Sometimes too embarrassed to admit it. Sometimes too ashamed to tell people because they fear that they might be viewed as being weak and those who are not strong enough to handle the circumstances and the challenges of life. But the reality is, my friends, that sometimes even among our congregations, we have people who are falling down over sorrow and they are pining away in secret because they don't want to tell anyone that they're dealing with certain things and that they're struggling with certain things and that they are filled with sorrow over many situations. And who can they turn to? They don't feel comfortable enough to tell anyone what they're going through. And so what do? They pine away in secret. And that's what the psalmist is describing. And I want you to appreciate this, that if you find yourself in that situation this year, where you're too ashamed to tell people what's going on with you, where you are struggling with some of the circumstances in life, and where you are crying night after night and you can't, even your sleep has gone away from you, I want you to realize, my friends, there is some help. And if you don't look to anyone else, look to the Word of God. Why? Because, my friends, the word of God will strengthen you against sorrow. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Yes, I'm in heaviness, And yes, I'm constantly crying and my tears are filled because of the sorrow and because of the heaviness and the depression of my spirit. He said, but he looked to the word of God. The word of God will strengthen you, my friends. When you see a knowledge of the word of God and strength, they kind of go hand in hand. Look at what Paul writes to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 9 through 11. So often, my friends, sometimes by the time we find out people are suffering this way, it's often too late. It's often too late. And you know, it saddens us when we find out that there are Christians who contemplate suicide. And we have no idea that they are drowning in sorrow that way. Why? Because they choose to pine away in secret. Well, my friends, we don't want you to do that. Among the different things and the different avenues by which you might obtain help in that situation, we want you to not forget the word of God so that it can strengthen you against that sorrow. Colossians chapter 1, and look at verse number 9 through 11.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Come on, read.
That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
I wonder why Paul prays that. Because that's what we're praying for you today. That's what we're talking about going forward in the new year. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Contemplating and meditating, reading the word of God this year so that you might derive from it the strength to be able to carry out God's will. Notice what he says in the next verse.
Strengthened with all might according to his glorious
power. There's our word. Strengthened with all might according to what?
His glorious power.
Paul desired for them to have a complete and full knowledge of God's word, of God's will. And he desired that they would be strengthened by it. In other words, to have the strength to accomplish what they learned. He wanted them to be able to live the knowledge. It's one thing to gain the knowledge. It's another thing entirely to live the knowledge that we have gained. He wanted them to be strengthened in the performance of their duty before God, to be able to meet the challenges of life. My friends, there's going to be some challenges this year in 2018, and the one who increases his knowledge in the word of God is going to be have a better opportunity to deal with them. We're going to need to increase our knowledge of God, his will, so that we can come to a better understanding and at the same time be strengthened to perform those things that God would have us to perform. That word of God will strengthen us, but it will also build us up. It'll build us up when we are torn down. Let's look again in Acts 20 and verse number 32 at a scripture we heard in our scripture reading. Paul says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Now consider these words. He said, which is able to build you up. That is the Greek word dunamai. It means which is able, it has the power. It is able. It has the power to build you up. That is epoikatameo. And that word means to build up or to rear up to completion. In other words, my friends, it is applied to a house that is erected. And even though it's a slow process, ultimately that house is erected to its completion. Now, the thing about a house being erected to its completion is there's going to be changing weather all through the process. I mean, when you see people are erecting houses, does it not rain?
Yep.
It'll rain, but that does not prevent the house from being reared up to completion. There may be some winds that may blow, but that does not prevent the house from being reared up to completion. There might be some storms, some thunder, and some lightning, but that does not prevent the house from being reared up to completion. And so what Paul is saying is that the word of God has a steady and slow process that if you apply yourself in the word of God, it will rear you up to completion. It is able. It has the power to rear you up, even amid the changing climate. In other words, my friends, there's going to be some rain in your life in 2018. But the word of God being increased in your life will rear you up to completion. There may be some winds blowing in your life this year, but the word of God will rear you up. Strengthen you, establish you, confirm you in the very thing that is God. And so, my friends, even though we are going to have to deal with inclement weather during this year, 2018, If you increase your study, your contemplation, and your meditation in the Word of God this year, it'll rear you up, my friends, to completion. It will establish you and confirm you, and your house will stand. It's the word of His grace that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. You're going to need strength this year. Strength to direct your steps. You see, Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10:23, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man which walketh to direct his steps." So no man can truly direct his steps in a godly fashion without the word of God. He needs the word of God in order to direct his steps. It's not in man to do it otherwise. If you try to avoid the word of God this year, my friends, good luck, because that's what you're going to need. See, we don't have to talk about luck when we're talking about the word of God. But if we step outside the word of God, we might as well talk in the vernacular of the world. Good luck. Good luck if you're going to do it without the word of God, apart from the word of God. But if you establish yourself in the word of God this year, it'll help you direct your steps. In fact, look at Psalm 119 and notice verse number 9. It'll direct your steps in purity this year. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By what?
By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
The way to overcome defilement this year is the word of God. The psalmist continues in Psalm 119 and verse number 11. He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." My friends, direction in purity. You're going to need the word of God this year. But not only that, direction in persecution. What do you do when you're persecuted this year? Wait a minute, Brother Disby. How do you know I'm going to be persecuted this year? I don't. You probably was persecuted last year in some manner. And so chances are you're going to deal with some kind of persecution in 2018. And you might as well get ready, because the thing I'm talking about is certainly true of all of us. Look what he says in Psalm 119 and verse number 23.
Princes also did sit and speak against me.
Say what?
Princes also did sit and speak against me.
The psalmist didn't get by with it. He didn't get away. He couldn't avoid it. Jesus couldn't avoid it. Paul couldn't avoid it. No one ever lived could avoid somebody persecuting you, somebody talking against them, speaking against them. And I'll tell you what, chances are you haven't avoided it.
That's right.
And you probably are not going to avoid it in 2018. The thing I'm trying to settle is, if you increase the word of God in your heart and you read it this year and you get strengthened by it, you'll know what to do. Come on, read.
But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes.
But thy servant, what were they doing? They were speaking against me. They were railing on me. They were scoffing at me. But what did I do? I meditated in thy statutes, or in thy word. They positioned themselves to do evil. We need to position ourselves in the word of God. They positioned themselves to do evil, to conspire against, to backbite, to ridicule. They talked about you. We position ourselves in the word of God. People are probably going to talk about you this year. Somebody probably going to be talking about you on the job this year. They did last year. Don't believe that everything someone says was good about you. They probably going to talk about you, you know, even in your family. Family members talk about each other. You know, they got something to say. And for some reason, you never feel like you're talking about somebody because it's you doing the talking. But oftentimes when we're talking about someone, we would not want that person to hear what we said. Even though we're not really talking about them. But not only that, even in the church, somebody's going to be talking about you. You know, they talk about you at Newport News. I don't want you to believe that we are the only congregation that don't have to deal with these kind of situations. Oh, we deal with them. People talk about you. I don't even want to know what y'all said about me this past year. Everything probably wasn't too flattering, and I wouldn't even want to know it. Talk about the elders, talk about one another, talk about the brothers, sisters, talk about each other, on and on and on. People are going to talk about you this year, but how are you going to handle it? When they conspire against, you've got to establish yourself in the word of God. And you know what? You will find strength to deal with it in the scriptures. The Bible claims to be good and a profitable book. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. All scripture. It's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, we are instructed how to deal with things because the word instructs us in righteousness, in right behavior, in right reactions, in how to behave ourselves, even when we're dealing with people who are acting in a way that's not good. And so when they conspire against, when they curse, we bless. That's instruction in righteousness. When they are evil, we're good. And when they are saying and speaking all manner of evil against us, we are praying for those individuals. See, that's instruction in righteousness, how to behave yourself even among those who are against you. You see, the word of God, if you increase the word of God, you increase your strength even to deal with those who are directing some bad things toward you, speaking against you. And you know, Solomon was saying in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, that you know good well that you've talked about others. So don't be trying to find out and know everything that's being said against you, because you yourselves know you also have spoken against others. Amen. So we have to be careful there. But this year, my friends, we're going to deal with it in righteousness, because we're going to increase our knowledge of the word of God, thereby increasing our strength. And then direction in the pathway. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 105. 105, I'm sorry. O is an alphabet, so we need zero. 105.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path.
The word of God is here this year to keep you from stumbling. The word of God is here this year to keep you in the right way. It is there to help you see the dangers all along the way. Think about how many people who are going to trip this year, who are going to fall and trip over obstacles, who are going to fall into ditches, who are going to get themselves into some situations that's going to be very difficult to get out, who are going to walk into danger because they simply cannot see. They cannot see because the word of God, my friends, is lighting the way. The word of God is lighting the way. Y'all are surprised that I'm coming down already, right? I intended to be short this morning. But my friends, listen. The word of God will help you this year. It'll help you every year. But since we are going forward and we want to increase our strength, it comes from increasing your knowledge. Increasing your knowledge of God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, increasing your knowledge of his will. And then, like Paul prayed for the Colossian brethren, I pray that not only will you come to know and understand God's will in a good way, in a great way, in a complete way, but you also will have the ability or the knowledge or the strength to be able to perform that which you know. And so not only are we going to learn God's will this year, we're going to perform God's will this year. And our strength is not going to come from ourselves, but from the one that we know. Jesus the Christ and him crucified. And if you want to be a part of him this year, if you want to be a part of his family, if you want to be a part of his church, it comes through the word of God. He left his word here to show us the way. If you believe in him, my friends, all that you need to know about Jesus Christ is in his word. You don't need to search for anything outside of it. I don't care what man says about Jesus. I don't want to hear what man says about Jesus if it's not here. And if it's here, I might as well go here and get it. And if you want to know about Jesus, all you have to know is that Jesus Christ is God. That he is equal to the Father in his nature. And that in the beginning he was with the Father. He created and made all things. John chapter 1 and verse number 3. And then because God loved man so much that he sent Jesus, and Jesus was willing to come. John 3 and verse number 16. And Jesus came down here and suffered. He bled, he died. And then he went to a grave. And as a result of that, my friends, he resurrected on the third day just as he had promised. He had promised it to them in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, and then promised that he would rise again and build his church. And when he rose, he stayed on this earth for about 40 days and then ascended back into heaven. 10 days later, an old man preached the first gospel sermon, Acts chapter 2. And when people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and found out that he was the Messiah and that he was God, they then responded in gospel obedience. Having asked that question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. My friend, that Holy Spirit came and inspired those men, and those men gave us this book. And those men, as a result of preaching the gospel, the church began in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. And everyone who was in that church, Jesus said he's going to come back one day and he's going to take that church to heaven. You'd want to be a part of that. Be faithful to him. Revelation 2:10, he says, and he will give you a crown of life.
We invite you to become a part of what they were a part of in the New Testament. That is the Church of Christ. The only one in the Bible, you might well get into one that you can find in the Bible. Because he didn't establish but one. If you want to respond to that, believe in him. Repent of your sins. Confess him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then be immersed in water. Baptism for the remission of your sins. And he'll add you to his church. You be faithful to death until this life is over. Whether it cost you your life or whether you die in a peaceful manner, just make sure you're always faithful to Jesus Christ, and heaven will be your home when this life is over. If you need to respond to this invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.